scripture on the book of Leviticus, on chapter 4, verses 27 to 31. So I'm going to invite Lee to come over.
Today's scripture is from Leviticus chapter 4, verses 27 through 31. If any member of the community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, when they realize their guilt and the sin they have committed becomes known, they must bring as their offering for the sin they committed to a female goat without defect. They are to lay their hand on the head of the sin offering and slaughter it at the place of the burnt offering. Then the priest is to take some of the blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the fellowship offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity that we can come before you, the Spirit of the living God, and we pray, God, that you do what you just can do among our lives, and allow this word that is coming from you to be the one that shapes our lives, brings strength, and also challenges to grow. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. We are now in a new sermon series at this time, and it's also something that is helping us to learn more about who we are as the United Methodist Church. And all of this is also coming because I have been confronting to a very big reality, and it is that my children are growing. And, you know, it's hard. It has this sweet, how you say, bitterness at the same sweet. It's just hard. I remember when Pedro was that little boy, and that was in Ohio. Now he's this 14-year-old that he enjoys every day to see how taller he's getting over me. Like, oh, now look at your elbow. Look at your, I'm like, really, guys? I mean, you don't need to be that big. And then Elizabeth, that picture in the top is when she came here at that age. She was 2 years old, and now she's 9. But you see, one of the things that is happening every time I see these pictures from school, it reminds me that they are growing, even though I like it or not. But one thing is, I also need to understand that growth is something healthy and beautiful. We look for that growth in our children, but we also look for that growth in our lives. We expect them to mature. We want to invest in their lives so they can thrive and do what they are called to do in this wonderful world that the Lord created. But also, as I am looking forward for my children to grow, I also look forward for this congregation to keep growing. And it is beautiful to see how the Lord has been using you in ways that probably we didn't even dream. And now that we see how God has been doing ministry centers and other things, we are able to notice how these things that are happening are not something that we started in our own. It was God leading us and then God giving us that opportunity to serve him in that way. So there are specific ways that we are called to serve in this church. And right now when we baptize Ella, you can remember what are we called to do specifically. And as United Methodists, we're calling people to do this. That we call everyone to participate in our church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. So if somebody asks us, what is this about? Why are we talking about these different things? It's because of one aspect that I love what C.S. Lewis says here. He says, we must show our Christian colors if we are to be true to Jesus Christ. Amen? In other words, I was just 2 weeks ago, I was in St. Louis, Missouri, and they put together a lot of really nerd pastors. I was just there as a Hispanic cheerleader, I believe. But they are really cool people, you know, nerds, all of that. And they were trying to pick on their brains just to figure out how is it that God is speaking to a new generation and how do we can we communicate the message of the gospel to this new generation. But then they asked us, how is Northern Hills doing that? And one of the things that we say there is that Northern Hills has chosen that anything that we do, we're not going to deny that this is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we have ESLs. This is why we have project transformations. This is why we invest in the youth. This is why we have military ministry, because we want to shout to the world that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Because we want to shout to the world that there is hope in Christ. Because we want to shout to the pain that pain is limited, but the power of God is unlimited. Because we want to shout to the world that the joy that we receive is the joy that is an example and a fruit of the presence of God in our lives. And we are not going to stay quiet. Amen? We're going to have our agenda clear for everyone. So how do we prepare for that? How can we really share that with others? And the idea here, my brothers and sisters, is that we are all, as I expect my kids, we are all expect to grow. I expect you to grow. And in these specific things that we're talking about. So we're expecting to grow. And what I call it in our Give Me Five. You see this wonderful hand that we have here? It's awesome to have a worship leader with a dad who is capable to do these kind of things. So we're going to be talking about Give Me Five during these 5 weeks. Can you give me five right now? All right. So the first one of the Give Me Fives that we're going to have, it's prayer. And let me tell you, I hope I'm going to do it right. So we have prayer. All right. So whenever we're talking about how can you invest in the church, what are we looking for you? The very first thing that I'm going to ask you that I need from you is prayer. Because we don't pray as thinking it's the last resource. In this church, we pray because that's the first thing that we want everyone to do. You don't realize how much prayer is going on in this church. There is a Tuesday morning at 6:30. People are praying for every prayer request that you present. There is a Wednesday morning at 6:30 at the ministry center, another prayer. One of the most beautiful things that I learned when I came to this church is all the day school teachers that you have here, when you have this day school from Monday through Friday, every teacher, they gather together every day and they pray for the children. So think about that. You are going to drop your child in the hands of a teacher who pray for the child, and people are praying for them as teachers. Isn't that great? So we believe in prayer not as the last resource, but as the first place to guide our lives. So we're going to talk about this, but also in relationship to offerings that were part of the Old Testament. Offerings are very important in the Old Testament because it talks about how they help us to connect with God. I like this definition of offering. The sacrificial system, or the offerings, of the Old Testament was a means of grace by which the relationship between God and humanity begins to be restored. The purpose of that was to connect them back with God. Because one of the things that we have always talked is about this word that is kind of foreign in our culture, but it's very important in the history of the Old Testament, and it's the word covenant. Covenant is that agreement between two persons or two cultures or God and the people of God, or in our case, two different people that come together in an agreement to together be able to grow in a specific way. In the case of these sacrifice offerings, it has different purposes. First of all, the people who were giving this sacrifice to God is a gift. It's a way to say, you know, God, everything that I have comes from you. So this is a way to tell you that I'm thankful for that. You remember Abel? Not my husband. Abel in the Bible. Abel, he was bringing an offering. And we see that the reason is just because of gratitude. The other offering that, and sacrifices are also for communion. It's a way to connect between the two in covenant. Actually, in the Old Testament, we're going to learn some of those offerings is more like a potluck. Like everybody come, you see United Methodist for sure, all the people in the Old Testament, because we love potlucks in the Methodist system. So the communion, it was part of that saying, you know, we are together, the family of God, we're going to learn to grow together. Also, it's about healing rifts. In other words, this is a very, very church word, expiation. That's how you pronounce it, Pastor Mickey? Yeah, expiation, right? And what it means is about how is it through this sacrifice, it's a way that we can have a visual example of showing how is it that healing can happen. It is one animal taking the place for somebody else. We can see a lot of examples of this in the Bible. When I preached to you about David, I remember that I shared with you this image, and it is after David recognized that he did a big mistake because he was doing a census with his people. And after he realized he was being just snob and selfish, and he recognized that he needed forgiveness, he did two kinds of offerings, the burnt offering as a way to say, God, I'm giving you all what I am. I understand that it's not wise for me to try to live my life in my own. I'm giving you who I am. And then the other offering he did is the peace offering. And the way to say, you know, God, I want to reconnect with you. You see, it's a very visual connection with God. On one hand, I understand that right now we don't need the offerings anymore because the Lord Jesus Christ took that place. But also I value how in the Old Testament was so involving so much of the person, so much visual action, so much investing to show that desire to come to that place of connection with God. I'm concerned that sometimes we can take the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for granted. And we don't realize how much investment is in that. But today we're seeing how these offerings were able to connect us back. One of those offerings is actually the purification offering, or also the sin offering. In Hebrew, it's called chata. This is very special. In some cases, they call it also the offering for sins that you were not aware you were doing. For example, if by mistake they touch a body that was a person who died, or there was an animal that was dead, and the person didn't see that, and they touched that, it's called that person was unclean. Or when a woman had babies, and after having the baby, and we can ask all of those who have had a baby, the first 40 days, you are like, I'm barely making it, right? You know, maybe right now the two here that have babies are barely awake. Where are you over there in the back? Yeah, you know, sleeping more than 4 hours is like, yoo-hoo, right? I know that one. I have been there, girl. I have been there. So what happened is the Bible gives some space to those moms to be able to say, you know, recover and reconnect into society. So in other words, all of these different sacrifices are a way that they wanted to reconnect. A way to say, you know, this is a way I'm showing to people I want to be clean because of my sins or because of things that I did do that I wasn't aware, or because I'm coming back to society. And the way they did it was bringing one animal, and they will put their hand in the head of the animal, as you can see. And they will say, you know, loudly I'm going to say that I'm looking for forgiveness from my sins and for the things that I have been done wrong. This animal then was going to be killed. And they will separate the animal in different ways, and they will put it as an offering. But there is one aspect that I never thought about it until I read it in the scripture. And it says how part of the blood of that animal was going to put in the horns of the altar. The altar had these horns in the corners. And I never understood the meaning of that. But the scripture talks a lot about the horns, and even we remember in some psalms when it talks about how God is going to bring you that horn of salvation. I'm like, what does that mean? It has a very important meaning, this action. You see, when you give the blood of an animal that was representing the life of that animal gave his life to bring to you salvation and connection. And having them to put by the priest in those horns was a way to say, you know, this life is going to be able to be used to restore the life of this person to society. And also it's because of the power, that's what the horn meant, the power and the strength of God in supporting and in giving his life for all of us. So it's a beautiful meaning of saying, when I am sustaining myself in those horns of salvation, it represents I am sustaining myself in the place of strength of God. There are parts in the Bible when it talks about some people that were trying to escape, and the way that they could find a place where nobody could touch them is if they were touching those horns of salvation. So what God is telling us in this part is to say that life can be restored when we bring that life to that horn of salvation, to those places where we can receive that strength. But you see, with these two, we can learn that maybe in different ways, people were disconnected with God. Many times, we also can be there. Don't you feel that sometimes you say, my spiritual life is very strong, but there are times when you feel like your spiritual life is kind of low, and you're needing to find that way of reconnect. And I like this that says how sometimes we need to find places where we can come to God and say, I need to be plugged back to you. I need to connect with you. And that's the purpose of prayer. We pray to connect back with God. We pray because as that offering was about saying, you know, I recognize there is something between me, God, and you. And I don't want that to be in the way. I want to be able to connect with you with nothing between you and me. And we are sure that that connection comes because now we have the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says on Hebrews, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It is now through that Lord Jesus Christ that we can find life. And we find that salvation that brings strength, that is capable to help us to connect back with him. But it's important for all of us to understand that prayer is the key to keep that conversation with God. When we think about Methodist as prayer, this is what we think. Prayer is a spiritual discipline and a gift. It helps us connect individuals to God and God's will. And it helps strengthen the bonds of Christian community as people pray with and for each other. That's why we pray. It is because we connect, first of all, with God. But also we connect with each other and we carry each other's burdens together. My brothers and sisters, I can tell you that there are so many formulas, so many things that we can learn about Christianity. But prayer is the only thing that has sustained me in my life. There has been many times when I have no clue how life is going to turn in our lives. But when we pray, that thing, that situation that look dark or difficult, God can transform that to something where it's an opportunity of growth. I have learned to pray through my mother. I still remember that I'm thankful to my mother, and I have shared this story before, because in Mexico, I'm not sure how many of you are familiar, there is a kind of washing machines, and this kind of washing machines, they can have the capacity of moving. I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? They are, they have two different holes, and but they can get so powerful that they move, and the only way not to find your washing machine in the middle of the street, sometimes my mother needed to stay there and just put her hands over the washing machine to stay there. Do you guys have those ones in the United States? They are very unique in Mexico, right? You know, so, but I'm so thankful to that washing machine because thanks to that, my mother took her prayer time, the time when she's putting her hands on the washing machine, and she can move, she can do anything else, so she will pray for that washing machine. I can tell you that I'm thankful to that washing machine because that's why I have a husband, because my mother prayed for me in there. I am thankful for that washing machine because I am sure that I have been able to go through life and get and face all the different circumstances because of that washing machine that has been there and my mother has been praying for me there. But what I learned, I still remember seeing my mother with her hands there and just bringing every need that she learned about our lives or the people that surround her and pray for that. It created that habit on her, and I see the fruit of that. She's 85. I'm going to see her tomorrow. And I'm going to see her tomorrow because she's struggling with her health. But one thing I can say is that even at this age, she remembers the power of prayer. And she remembers that her connection with God is what has helped her to live the life that she has. So I invite you today to own what the scripture tells us on 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 4. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, what else? Prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. I'm going to invite you to do something for just 1 minute. Stand up where you are and hold the hands of the people that surround you. If we say we're going to commit ourselves to prayer, we're going to start today. We're a beautiful church, and you're holding the hands of a person that is beautiful and amazing. But you're also holding the hand of a person that maybe you know, maybe you do not know. is going through great blessings or great challenges. But what you know is your brother or sister in Christ that God gave you the opportunity to have here. So I'm going to invite you in this moment. Start blessing the person that is in your right hand. Start blessing the goodness. Give thanks to God for that person and the beautiful things that God has done through that person. Now pray for the challenges that the person is living right now that you don't know and you don't need to know. Ask for God's wisdom, for God's discernment, for God's power. Now do the same with the person at your left side. Give thanks to God for his or her life. Now tell the Lord, thank you for the blessings that this person has received. Even those blessings that perhaps this person hasn't been aware of, but God, you have blessed. But also in this moment, bring this person before God and say, God, you know what are the struggles that he or she is living. And in the name of Jesus, we bring them before you. Now pray for Northern Hills United Methodist Church. Bless this congregation. Tell the Lord, God, as a member of Northern Hills, I pray that you will use us. You will empower us. You will guide us to do your perfect will. And we step in the authority of Christ at San Antonio. And we declare San Antonio as a place that is known because your Holy Spirit moves among us. And we want to be part of that movement. Now, as a person of Northern Hills, you say, God, anything that is not from you, we do not want that in the name of Jesus. Pray for the next generation, for the children, the babies, the young kids, and pray that they will be able to be raised in this church, learning that they are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we come here together as a church, and we pray to you knowing, God, that is not our last resource, but the main resource that we have to connect with you. Allow us to grow in knowing that prayer is important, and allow us to remember that it is you, God, who guides our lives. And help us to find wisdom to discern your voice and follow you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.